This is After the Final Rose with Dante and Alana, a siblings podcast talking everything Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Welcome back to another episode of After the Final Rose with Dante and Alana Furco, a siblings podcast. We are ready and been waiting for the moment to talk about this episode because it started off crazy. Obviously, last week we ended in the middle or the right before at the beginning of a rose ceremony. Matt, it ended with Katie telling Matt. Mm-hmm. And that was it. They didn't address it. And then so we open up this episode with Matt addressing all the girls. And I thought he did such a good job. I was happy. I know he does it later on, but I was happy he didn't say who said it. He mm-hmm. really was just like, I am being told it's toxic here and girls are starting rumors. And, you know, I'm not appreciative of this at all. And I was like, I feel like you don't really see it like that. It's usually the guy mm-hmm. will just pull the girl aside and be like, blah, 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 said this. But he addressed the whole room and was like, all of you need to stop bullying each other.
Mm-hmm. And I think this was the first big moment for Matt or big situation that he had to handle. And I thought he handled it very well. He went to the girls and, like you said, instead of pulling one person aside, he spoke to all of them. And a lot of the girls were shook. And you could tell some of them knew like it was them. And which the first person we see get interviewed is Anna or Anna, and she's the one that's pretty much started all this. And the main issue behind it all was when Katie told Matt about Brittany. Yep, how there was something that could.
No, sorry, keep going.
Yeah, how like there were rumors being spread that could possibly ruin her life and really affect her life after The Bachelor and when this all airs, and like that didn't sit well with Matt, and he addressed it, and right away obviously Anna knew like it was her, and you know,
oh, she was caught red-handed.
She was caught red-handed, and then if you for the first time, which I mean perfect timing, right? She was like I'm trying to remember the exact words, but she was like, oh, right when I said it, I felt bad. I knew it was wrong. But the thing is she kept talking about it. I remember the scene with her and Victoria laying on the couch and they were just talking about it. And I don't think mm-hmm. that's, she felt sorry.
No, not at all. She 100%, all the girls, which we'll see when they go into the like rose ceremony, obviously is when they start apologizing and feeling sorry, and it's like they couldn't have been more of a prime example of you only apologize because you got caught. Like, 100%. Because clearly when Katie addressed it to Victoria and was like, stop calling her name, she literally was like, I can call people names if I want to, like it's my, like I can do what I want. So clearly you didn't feel guilty about it, and you know, you could see the girls were starting to unravel. Like any girl was like, is it, they knew who it was about, but then because I think he addressed it as like a lot of people were doing it, mm-hmm. then girls were like, is it me? Did I say something too? Like, you know, and so obviously we all know it was mainly Victoria and Anna, and then, which we'll see later, a little bit of MJ. And I just felt so bad because Brittany has literally not given, like besides her walking in, kissing him in like her first main entrance, which I mean, she's been gone, like she wasn't there for 3 weeks. So she was trying to catch up. Like, I don't think she's in the wrong for that. Otherwise, though, she hasn't done anything. Like none of these girls have done anything to deserve being treated mm-hmm. like this. And at the end of the day, it's not their fault. It's the producer's fault. The producers chose to bring them in later. Like, and they mm-hmm. kept, it just reminded me, like it couldn't have reminded me more of high school drama. Like them saying varsity squad versus JV squad and like the OGs versus the new girls. Like it was so, it was toxic. It was so toxic. Oh, yeah.
And
like, I wouldn't have.
Ugh, oh, yeah. Well. And the first person that got to speak with Matt after all that went down was Anna. And, you know, she tried, mm-hmm. like I said before, she was saying, oh, I felt bad right when I said it. I regretted it. And I was so happy that Matt, he didn't care, but he knew that it was crap. And he sent her home. And thankfully, he didn't wait till the rose ceremony. He just got rid of the issue. And Anna was the issue in all this. So I applaud Matt for not, you know, putting up with her and putting up with that. And I think that set a big like tone for the rest of the night.
Oh, yeah. And that's when we saw all the girls started apologizing, because once, you know, I thought Matt handled it well with Anna. Like, at first, I thought he was going to keep her because he was like, you know, I have a connection with you. I like you. Like, this is not, you know, the girl that I got to know. So I was like, oh, wait, he's going to believe her. And then, of course, he was like, I'm sorry, but I can't keep you. And so you're right. It set such a tone for this group setting, and all the girls were like, shit, I have to save my ass during this cocktail party before it gets out that I said something. So, you know, you see Victoria, she apologized to Catalina for taking her crown, and Catalina was like, I think she called her out on it, or someone called her out on it, was like, you know, you're just apologizing now. And I was happy that I think Ryan told him, like, because Matt had asked all the girls, like, that were still left, Michelle, Ryan, Catalina, like, Brittany, he pulled all of them aside and was like, I want to know your take. Like, do you feel like you're being bullied? And Ryan started, like, telling him, you know, Victoria is she called me a hoe. She's, you know, just got into everything that we've already talked about. And I just couldn't believe that, like, it just went downhill from there. Like, Victoria had every opportunity to, like, make herself look better and just apologize and be like, Matt, I did say this. I'm so sorry. I judged a book by its cover. But I'm pretty sure she said she didn't say any of it. Did. Yeah, well, she did. She clearly was caught on camera. And, I just thought all the new girls looked like a boss. Like, all of them were like, they all threw the girls under the bus without being a snitch. Like, they made it clear that they weren't, like, usually you see the girls will pull the guy aside and be like, blah, 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 is saying all this mean stuff about me. Like, they didn't. They waited for Matt to pull them aside and then was like, so this is what happened. Like, yeah, I am being bullied.
Yeah, that was just my biggest pet peeve of the night, is that every girl, when they were caught red-handed, they either, like, apologized or they were like, oh, I didn't do this, you're lying. And Victoria was at the front of it all. And I just don't understand how she doesn't see where she's in the wrong.
And she kept saying she wasn't the reason why the environment was toxic. And I was like, you are.
And what's so funny is once they got into the rose ceremony, or right about that time, you know, she was like huffing and puffing. She was feeling sick. Looks like she was about to faint.
She was probably having a panic attack.
Well, she was the first person to give Sarah shit when that happened to her. And now she does it. And if the situation's different, I mean, I guess Sarah did have the rose, but like at the same time, it's a panic, like a panic attack. It's a panic attack, I guess.
Yeah.
So what,
think that she easily could have had a panic attack over the fact that, like, she was caught red-handed. Like, whether she was faking it or not. Yeah, she knew it. She was like, shit, because Ryan went and told him, like, I think she thought she saved herself by apologizing to people. And then when Ryan went and told him everything, she was like, oh my God, he's going to do the same thing to me that he did to Anna. And obviously we get into the rose ceremony and we see that Victoria does get sent home. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was very shocked he saved Serena. Like,
she
is in that mix. Her and MJ are just as bad. I mean, they're not as vocal, but they're no better.
And those two are two that use the word varsity and JV and newbies and like the OGs, which is so annoying. But thankfully, Matt sends Victoria home. And, you know, I feel like, you know, she said all season, like, she's here for love and that all these other people aren't here for the right reasons. But I think she is the definition of somebody coming on this show for fame. And she put up so many,
like,
masks and fake, like, so much fakeness to be in the center of attention and be the one everybody's talking about.
Oh yeah. At the end of the day, like, the producers definitely make sure there's always a villain, but I feel like you can doctor and adjust your own mentality. Like, say you're fine with going along with it, you still can choose what you say. And I think that, like, she took everything she said to an extent. And you know what? I feel like what Victoria did when she said her goodbye was something that I don't think I've ever seen from a bachelor. Like, you know, they get mad and they're like upset, but the way that she disrespected Matt and just was like, called through all the girls under the bus, that just shows that, like, she really is a horrible person. Like, she wasn't just doing this for the TV. Like, she clearly has never had, like, either criticism or been called out in her life or doesn't do well with it, because the fact that she was like, I hate the name Matt, I'll never date a Matt again. Like, and then I forgot what she said. Everything she did, the way she handled it, was so childish. I was like, please get off my screen. Like, I'm done with you.
And, you know, unless she finds somebody as crazy as her, it's going to be or if you don't see the show, it's going to be tough rebounding from this, because you put yourself in such a horrible light. How is anybody, which, I mean, sucks to say, but how is anybody going to want to be involved with her after, like, they Luke see Pell. Who she is?
He should date her. Or not Luke Pell. Yeah. Luke, what's his name? Not Luke Pell.
I think it's still Luke P, though.
Luke P. I don't remember yes.
From Hannah's season. Yeah, literally.
Yes. He would do well with her.
But that wrapped up that rose ceremony. And we get a one-on-one date with Rachel, which I was actually really excited about because I like Rachel. Yeah. Because most of these girls are crazy this season. But I loved it. And so Matt took her on a little shopping date, which you can tell is just the other rear end of the resort, which I find really funny is that they keep putting people in, like, limos and whatever, and then they'll literally just drive them around the, like, hotel. I feel like you could just walk there. But they get a shopping date. I feel like we see this every couple seasons. And she was trying on a ton of dresses. And with me, the way Matt was looking at Rachel, like, I could see her going really far in this. Because you can tell, like, he's just amazed by her looks and, like, everything about her.
He kept saying, which is so true, and I agree that we've seen this with her, is she is not the girl that is loud and the first one running to hug him and at the front of the group of date with the girls. Like, she's not that girl, but she still makes it clear to him that, like, I'm here for you, I like you, my feelings are growing. And he was like, I like that. Like, pretty much he was saying, you're not obnoxious and you're not, like, trying to prove yourself in, like, these stupid ways like the other girls do. And yeah, I agree. I was like, he definitely is into her. And I crack up when they do this. They did this, I think, with Hannah Ann or someone on Hannah Peter's Ann, season.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Hannah Ann. And then for Colton's season, it was Kaylin.
Yes. And, you know, they get a whole day of shopping. And it just cracks me up because these girls are like, oh, my God, he spoiled me. Like, and now I know what it's going to be like in the future. And it's like, he's not going to, like, he may spoil you, but you're probably never going to have this kind of date again where you're going to walk into a store and he's just going to buy you all this stuff.
And it's not his money also.
No,
At least I doubt it anyway.
No.
But so that pretty much wrapped up the, them shopping. But when she comes back into the resort with all her bags, she walks right into the room full of girls, which I'm sure was set up. And I feel like there's two sides of that. Like, one, I'm sure Rachel felt kind of awkward, but then at the same time, I'm sure she felt like a baller because, you know, she's walking in with all these bags and, like, that's the date all these girls would want to be
on. Oh yeah.
Absolutely. And so she got it perfect.
I do think, though, she handled it well. Like, she didn't come in and was like, oh, my God, look what I, like, you know, bragging. She kind of, you could tell she's a very humble girl because she came in and wasn't bragging about it. She was just, like, so uncomfortable. But she did, like, I mean, obviously, she did, at the end of the day, show it all to them. But, and then, of course, like, someone comes in and drops her off a dress. And these girls are like, are you kidding me? Like, she did get one of the best dates. But you can see once that happens, like all the girls start freaking out and they're all like, oh my God, you can just tell now. Yes. And like, if Matt feels the same way, like even we saw like Michelle started getting nervous, Katie, like some of the girls that, you know, mm-hmm. you didn't really see freaking out yet are now freaking out.
And I think Abigail too.
Yep. So and we,
she was getting worried.
Yeah, they all were. And then what's it called? Oh, so they have like a date. She gets all dressed up in that outfit that he brings. And she got a way, which we'll talk more about it, but she got a way better date than Kit. Like Kit literally got like 5 minutes, oh, it felt yeah. like, where she got the date and then she got like the dinner afterwards. And yeah. it was so cute. And she says that she's falling for him, which seems a little early. And then he obviously was like, I feel the same way, which I was surprised by.
And that was another, I guess, opposite of red flag, like a green flag, that's another sign how far their relationship has progressed and yeah. how much it's in front of all the others. Because we never see somebody say, well, at least the Bachelor, Bachelorette, say back mm-hmm. that they are falling in love after 5 episodes, which is like yeah. 2 weeks in their time. Which I was that's really quick. Surprised when he said it back. Usually when they say it, they'll like the Bachelor, Bachelorette will like just lean in for a kiss, deflect the situation.
Yes.
But he said it back, and that's where I was like, oh, she's going far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So that we have a group date with all the rest of the girls except for Kit and mm-hmm. Rachel. And he took them on a farm to do some farm work. And it was really funny to watch, I thought. But another date that I felt like kind of seemed very short on TV, mm-hmm. that we didn't get much of. But these girls are just continuing to mm-hmm. unravel and cry and freak out. And it was so uncomfortable. Like MJ and him were in the middle of like an egg toss. And then he ran off and starts making out with Piper. And then the girls are like, wait, what? Like, I think this was their first reality check because they haven't really seen him like kissing other girls.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was even funnier the fact that it was MJ that saw it, just because I'm personally not a big fan of MJ.
Yeah, me
and
either.
I like Piper way better than yep. her. So I thought that was really funny that she walked in on that. But something that I was kind of annoyed about is how the producers did not, like, how I say this, you know, tell them to dress down. Like, these girls are in such, like, nice clothes, like, nice jeans, nice shirts, sweaters, and they're on a farm.
Yeah, I know.
And that's where I was like, oh, come on, you couldn't have at least helped them out a little bit.
Yeah, that's true, but I feel like they also do that on purpose so they can, like, have laughs and have, like, entertainment. Mm-hmm. But when they move on to, like, the farm work was really short, and then they have kind of like a later on, not, I guess, cocktail party with the group date. And I was super happy that ABC, or well, that Abigail addressed it and ABC put it on air. But, you know, she opens up to Matt about something that we don't see talked about because she's, I think, our first cast member with a disability, but she was like, you know, I'm really scared because my future husband, like, I want kids, and he has to be able to accept the fact that there is a possibility that, like, my child could end up deaf. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she said her dad left her and walked out on them years ago. And, you know, Matt can obviously relate to that, but he can't relate to the disability thing. But I thought it was very sweet and very real. And after that, I was like, she's getting the rose. Like, you could just tell 100%. That was like such a good conversation that they needed to have. And mm-hmm. I loved it. I was so happy that ABC showed, or Bachelor showed.
Oh, yeah.
It.
And I'm sure, you know, in an environment like this, where, you know, you are competing with so many other girls, I'm sure this was extremely tough to tell him mm-hmm. because you don't know how he's gonna react, you know.
Right.
I mean, unfortunately, like, you don't know, he's gonna think, oh, do I really want to take that risk?
Yeah.
But, you know, Matt handled it great, and I don't think Matt's the type of guy that would care.
No, I don't either.
That it's love first.
Yeah.
So I love that with Matt. And I personally, if it's not Matt and Abigail at the end, she is one of my top people I'd love to see as the next Bachelorette. I think it'd be a great story for ABC. And I think people are already starting to love her. So I think she would be perfect. But then, you know, we get MJ. And she's one of those people that has not admitted to, you know, the issues she has caused. And she has been in the front of like most of this drama, calling varsity and JV. And it just starts to escalate at the end of this episode.
Yeah, because I think Jacinia, she tells Matt that MJ is one of, you know, just as equally to play as Anna and Victoria were. And which tells him, you know, she is. And he, you know, she opens up and is like, she is part of the toxic environment. Like, she has, you know, been one of the people saying varsity and JV or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And so she, obviously, then Matt addresses MJ about it. And I could not have laughed harder in my life because she literally said the opposite of everything she was doing. She was like, I'm a peacemaker. She kept saying, right? I lead by example. And I was so happy that, I think it was Jacinia was like, you keep saying lead by example. Like, how are you leading by example? She's not leading by example. Katie is leading by example.
Oh, yeah.
Katie has been the peacemaker, not MJ at all. And she deserved to be called out. And she's been a problem since day one.
And also in MJ's conversation with Matt, you kind of mentioned it earlier, but I was shocked that Matt, I think it was the conversation with MJ, where he brought up the fact that it was Katie that like brought all this stuff to his attention. And I'm surprised it didn't get a bigger reaction out of her. I was expecting to get drama.
I think he said Katie to Victoria because then Victoria was freaking out.
Yes,
sorry. So that was pretty much why Victoria got addressed. MJ was Jacinia because at the end of the show, we see that Matt puts them one-on-one together. But same thing. I mean, I don't know if Katie was vocal about who it was specifically, where obviously like Jacinia said it was MJ.
Mm-hmm. And she just continued to deflect it throughout the group date. And Matt ends up giving the group date rose to Abigail, which I was extremely happy about. She probably had the most connection with him on the group date, and she took a big leap of faith, you know, telling him all that stuff. But then we get the one-on-one with Kit, which I was very intrigued because I thought this could be a one-on-one where you see the person get sent home. So I was very curious going into this date, but it was cute. It was a cooking date. And Kit talks about how, you know, this is something that her and her mom did all her life. I assume like it's because, you know, it's tough to go out when you're like as famous as them. Yeah. So I'm sure they cook in a lot. And, you know, she talked about how meaningful it was and how important it was to her growing up. And what?
I find it hard to believe that with how famous her mom is that they didn't have a chef cooking for them.
Oh, right.
And that's how they spent their time. But I mean, maybe her mom made it a point that was something they did. So I'm not going to say that it's a lie, but I just find it very hard to believe. Like, her mom is a extremely famous fashion designer. Like, you probably have a chef that makes your guys food. But I mean, clearly it meant a lot to her because she was really excited that Matt chose that as a date.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we actually, surprisingly, they had a strong connection.
Yeah.
And they actually related on a lot of things. And I just didn't expect Kit and Matt to really go far. I know we're only like 5 weeks in, but I did not expect her to go far, but I'm waiting. I'm wondering when Matt is going to ask her age.
Oh. Because
she is young. I have been waiting for this all season, for him.
That's to- right. I don't think they tell them.
Because she's 21.
Yes, because remember Becca had to tell Ari how old she was. So I didn't even think of that. I just assumed he already knew.
I don't know. I'm very curious because, you know, that's, I mean, she's 21, he's 29. Like, that's like him dating a college student.
That's very true. Yeah. I did not think that.
So I'm waiting for the episode where he asks. Because we saw Becca get really far in Ari season. I think down to like the final five. And like the final five is when she told him.
Yeah. And she was only like 23. This is even younger.
Yeah. Well, Ari was also like 36.
Yeah, that's true. But very true.
Kit did end up getting the one-on-one date rose. It was a pretty short date. She did not get the extravaganza like Rachel did with a shopping spree and a dinner, but she did get a cute little date cooking in with Matt.
I was so confused. They didn't even show them cooking or eating dinner. They just made cookies.
Yeah.
So I was very confused by that. So I guess it was a longer date probably, and we only got a clip of it. But she liked the date, so it went well. And then the girls, when they go back to the house, they're all thrown off because someone knocks on the door again and they're like, well, we already had two one-on-ones and a group date. Like, what else is to come? And Matt wants the whole Jacinia and MJ to be addressed before the cocktail party rose ceremony. And obviously we're going to get way more of it next week, but when they show up and they're sitting there talking to each other, before Matt gets there, like, Jacinia couldn't have handled herself so, like, any better. She just sat there and just, like, said the facts. She didn't play games. Oh, and MJ just kept saying over and over, I preach harmony. I preach peace. I'm not this person that you're saying. I'm not part of a toxic environment. And Jacinia's like, you literally said they are JV and you are varsity. Like, she just calls her out. And I was so happy. And I hope Matt gets to see that side. And I really hope he doesn't believe MJ, because I like Jacinia. We haven't gotten like a one-on-one with her yet or anything, or seen a true connection. But I do think that like she's a better person than MJ is and Serena.
Yeah. And MJ just kept saying how Jacinia was lying. She was not telling the truth. But like, we have seen it over and over.
Yeah.
Like,
and I love how
I was gonna say it's on camera. Like, there's literally evidence.
She said that. And she was like, I can't wait till you see it back. Or maybe that was Victoria. Right. Someone said it was like, you're gonna see it.
I mean, here's the thing is, I don't think we saw it much in the group setting, but we constantly saw it as viewers in like the side interviews.
Like, well, she was like that with Sarah. And Sarah too, like she was one of the main people that was like very, you know, bullyish and talking and wouldn't stop talking about Sarah. So it's like, it's not just this, like you could go back to day one.
Yeah. I just, I was a little, not confused, but caught off guard that they did this, like this little two-on-one kind of thing. One, so early, and two, like, it wasn't that big of a situation, I guess. Like, last season, we saw it with Noah and Bennett. And that was, like, a pretty big situation, like, issue that we had for, like, a couple weeks. But, like, this was, like, an issue that we only saw 5 minutes of and really was never, like, not brought up to Matt, but, like, there wasn't really a lot of issues when it came to that situation, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. It's weird and very early, but I mean, I think maybe it wasn't intended to be a two-on-one. Maybe it was just like, I'm tired of taking up all the girls' times at the cocktail party by addressing stuff like this, so let's just talk about it beforehand so I don't have to waste my time and I can just send one of you home now.
Yeah, that's fair. So I'm very curious, but that right there, I believe, was all of this week's episode. I'm excited to see what happens next week with this whole MJ and Jacinia situation.
Yeah.
Is there anything going on in the Bachelor world outside of this season?
The only thing that I've seen is just more is coming, you know, more info is coming out about Dale and Claire and how Dale has, like, been, I think he's been a little quiet, but I haven't really heard, I'm trying to think, I haven't really heard much.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I did see that they booked, I don't know if it's for Bachelorette or if they're going to try to do Paradise in a different location, but I read something that someone just booked out a resort, I think in Canada. And they're pretty sure it's Bachelor production because they booked up like a ton of rooms and no one's allowed to stay there during a certain amount of time. So it came out that they're possibly, which is an interesting place, Canada. Could I mean, be, maybe they can do more.
It could be, I mean, I doubt it because I'm not sure what the situation is right now, but it could be Summer Games if they were still planning on doing that, Bachelor Summer Games. It could also be the show they're trying to promote, the Elders Bachelor. But that's interesting. So I wonder what they're going to do with that. The thing is that they probably need a big beach because that's the whole point of Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah. I mean, if they were really concerned or if they really wanted to do it, they could do similar to a Winter Games, but just make it like Bachelor in Paradise. You're just not on a beach.
You could do the Bachelor pad, which is just like kind of like, it was kind of like a big mansion. But also, I feel like you could easily do though isolated and the Bachelor in Paradise, like that little resort they're already at. Because you're already on the beach away from everything else.
Yeah, so it says that Bachelorette has reportedly heading up north to film its 17th season at the swanky Jasper Park Lodge in Alberta.
Oh, it's probably Bachelorette then.
That's what I said. It was, I didn't know if it was Bachelorette or Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, it's probably Bachelorette then.
But they're doing it in Canada, which is interesting. But
here's the thing why I'd be surprised about that is that I know there's a lot of border control where they're not, I'm surprised they would let, then do this in Canada.
I don't know, because movies and stuff are still, I mean, having ways of filming stuff out of the U.S., but I would not be, I mean, Canada, I think, is clearer for COVID. And they probably can do more and travel more and do stuff outside of the resort, which I think they're just having a problem with. They're bored and running out of ideas.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's going to start filming soon within the next month or so, the new season of The Bachelorette. So they're going to have to choose The Bachelorette soon.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
That pretty much wraps up here on After the Final Rose with Alana and Dante. If you don't already, make sure you follow us on Instagram at @ATFR_podcast, as well as check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast streaming platforms. Make sure to like it and turn on notifications so you know every time we post. We also post our live videos of our podcast up on YouTube as well as the Instagram TV, so make sure to check out those. Give it a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of this week's episode, maybe who you think the Bachelorette's gonna be, and whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, see you guys next week to discuss more drama.
Have a good one.
Bye.